I'm Jeffrey Brown with the PBS NewsHour, and it's my pleasure to be here with Earlonne and Nigel in their new office at the Studio for Reveal at the Center for Investigative Reporting. And it's my pleasure to say, listen up.
Hey, if you get up and walk out, that make headlines, right?
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen. I just hope that we can ask questions that he's not used to having, and it won't just be another
another interview.
Right. I can't remember how many interviews.
You're listening to a special, unscheduled, abbreviated episode of Ear Hustle. I'm Earlonne Woods. I'm a former resident of San Quentin State Prison in California, and now a full-time producer for Ear Hustle.
I'm Nigel Poor, a visual artist, now podcaster. I've been working with the men at San Quentin for almost 8 years now.
And together, on this episode, we're going to take you to Sacramento for a little chat with Governor Brown.
The Honorable Jerry Brown. Earlonne, we should say to listeners right off the bat that if this is the first time you've listened to Ear Hustle...
Stop. This is an audio extra. This is not one of our regular episodes. If you're new to the show, go listen to something in season 1, 2, 3,
soon to be four. But if you went to one, what about, like, I don't know, what would you recommend?
I would recommend Boom Boom Room.
But it might give people the wrong impression that...
Dirty Water.
Ooh, that's heavy. You want to go right for the heavy. Or my favorite episode, which is what? Do you remember?
Yeah, When I Got Out.
That is definitely my favorite episode. But my second favorite episode.
All right, it's just the roach one.
Yeah, the one called Looking Out. Yeah. About taking care of critters in prison.
Or they can just start from the beginning and listen to them all. Because we got about 25 episodes.
That's right.
So they got something to binge on.
So what's going on now? A little over a month ago, after 21 years, you, Earlonne Woods, finally got out of prison.
Indeed. Governor Brown commuted my life sentence, so I'm free as a bird.
Now we're gearing up for season 4, which should start in the summer. And we're going to keep doing stories about life inside San Quentin.
And outside. Mm-hmm. Like stories of reentry, stories from other prisons,
yep.
All kind of stories. In the meantime, we got an invitation to meet with the Governor Jerry Brown. And we thought we'd take listeners along to hear a bit of what went on.
So months ago, before you were released, we actually asked to do an interview with the governor, but we didn't hear anything until recently. So on Thursday, January 3rd, just a few days before he left office, actually, we went to the governor's mansion.
Going to go holler at the governor, see what he's talking about, you know.
With our whole 35 minutes that we get with him?
35, you know, we gonna floss that into a little longer.
So, be honest. Are you nervous?
Not at all.
Why not?
People don't scare me.
Well, but it doesn't scare you, but, I mean, it's our freaking governor.
I mean...
The Honorable Governor, Jerry
Brown. Yeah, I got much respect for him, but he still don't scare me.
But someone doesn't have to scare you to make you nervous.
Nah.
That's how you equate.
Nah, he's just a regular dude.
And it was amazing. Okay, just physically, the building.
It was old. It was there since the 1800s.
Definitely. But wasn't it elegant?
No, it was tall people back then.
What, because the doors were like 15 feet tall?
Yeah.
And the doorknobs were like at your chest?
It was interesting.
It was beautiful. And it was also, they still had all the Christmas decorations up, so it was kind of festive. But also, he was moving out?
He was moving out. Everything was boxed up. And you was over there looking in boxes.
Oh, I was totally peeping. Like, I saw all his clothes in the box. Not all of his clothes, but some of his clothes. And believe me, I really wanted to look a little more closely, but I tried to be discreet.
And what was the other thing? You probably took some.
No way did I take anything. Because you couldn't tell if there was surveillance there or not.
Oh, yeah, true.
And what did you see on the shelf that was pretty funny?
Oh, the bobblehead.
Bobblehead Brown.
Yeah, I took a picture of it, too.
It was pretty great.
Uh-oh.
So we were looking around, we were seeing all of this stuff, and then...
Here come this dog, the governor dog. So would it be like a governor dog?
Yeah.
The dog came and sniffed us out.
Followed by the governor himself.
Good. How are you?
How you doing?
How you doing, Earlonne Woods?
Nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet
Hi,
you.
Hi, Nigel Poor.
Hi, Nigel. How are you?
So we wanted to meet the governor, not only because he commuted your sentencee, mm-hmm. but also because of the sheer number of people he recently commuted and pardoned.
He's been on a tear.
No kidding.
In his last two terms, he's commuted and pardoned more people than any other governor in California's history.
I know. What about Schwarzenegger?
Schwarzenegger, he commuted and pardoned, I think, 25 people.
And Gray Davis?
Gray Davis, zero.
Zero.
So we wanted to get a sense from Governor Brown, why? Why'd he do that? Why'd he take that path?
Okay, but first this. We had a very self-serving question.
Podcast, and we were curious if you've ever listened to the podcast.
No, I have not.
Not to this?
No, I haven't. But I haven't listened to any podcast.
I was wondering, do you have time to listen to anything?
My wife listens to podcasts, but I have not yet. But okay. I made out on the ranch, I'll have more time.
Okay. That's what's up.
Okay. Did that surprise you?
No, it didn't surprise me. I knew his team had listened.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of people think that your sentence was commuted because you're the co-host of Ear Hustle, and you've gotten a lot of attention for it.
Well, I look at it like this. There's a lot of people around me that got commuted that had nothing to do with Ear Hustle,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think it was more of my rehabilitation and all the stuff that I put in my commutation packet.
Mm-hmm.
Ear Hustle being one of them,
mm-hmm.
no?
Yeah, it was definitely mentioned in your letter.
Yeah, I mean, and his staff was like, hey, we love Ear Hustle.
But that certainly doesn't take away from the work you've done over these last 20 years.
Right, I've been doing it.
What do you think about a podcast being produced inside a prison that basically you oversee, I mean, you have control over? Does it surprise you?
Well, it is unusual.
Yeah.
And that's why people are taking such note of your podcast and what you're doing. So I would say it's a good thing. The prisons are very isolated, very separated. Most people never think about them.
Yeah.
They are a very significant part of state government, both in terms of the human impact and in terms of the money and the personnel that goes into it. So I think it's good if you can pull back the veil of secrecy and let people in on what the reality is of actually being locked up.
Oh man, E, I can't think of a better explanation of what we've been up to with this podcast.
Yep, we try our best to let people in on the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Lift the veil of secrecy, as he just said.
And man, that is one heavy veil.
So I want to personally thank you for commuting my sentence. I had a sentence of 31 years to life, and recently you commuted it, and it freed me about 35 days ago. So I highly appreciate that, because at this time right now...
What would you be doing at San Quentin?
I probably would have been in San Quentin waiting on her to come in so we can finish the episode. So I highly appreciate that.
And
most of the guys there that has been commuted appreciate that. Appreciate you changing our lives, because it has changed my life. So I thank you for that.
Well, I'm glad to do it. It all goes to this point that something very bad happens. And people will say, okay, now we're putting you in jail for a very long time. And the assumption is that what you did at that moment is what you are today, even though it's 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30 years later. And so that's the point that I'm struck by, that human beings in a moment can do something with devastating consequences. And then the question is, well, what do we do about that? But I'd say, a lot of people, particularly in law enforcement, want to look at the crime only. And that's really the big debate.
Mm-hmm.
Can people change? Should we recognize the change? Or once you did the act, that's who you are, your essence, your identity, and never to be considered. So I think that's very damaging. It destroys hope, and it violates the principle that redemption is at the essence of what it is to be human.
So what did you think when you heard him say that?
To hear the governor speak on how people in prison are not the same person when they walk through that door, that's what we talk about as prisoners every day. Like, we're not the same person that committed the crime. It might be 10, 15, 20 years later.
Yep.
We're different people.
Yeah, absolutely. So, E, I know one of the things you really wanted to ask the governor about was three strikes.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking
of three strikes, yeah. what is your take on it? I mean, do you feel it's worked or has it worked?
No, I think, I opposed it at the time, back in the early 90s. There's a big crime rate, people want to do something. And they always say that when you're a politician and something goes wrong, they say, do something.
Right.
And now, because the crime rate's gone way down, people are more open to changing things. But we've changed a little. The three strikes law has been changed a little bit, but it needs to be changed more.
But it's still in place.
Yep.
The three strikes law is still valid law in this state.
Oh, it's so crazy. But the people of California have to vote it out, and they haven't done it yet.
Well, we'll see what happens under Governor Newsom.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one thing Governor Brown said to us that made me think that he understands why it's so hard to change laws like the three strikes.
You know, Moses, whoever said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, what do we mean today? Yeah. And what's the basis of it? See, I think that's the important question. Person commits a crime, so he inflicts pain or he takes, hurts people or does something, takes something from someone. Then what do we do? I think that's a very profound question. So society wants something done. Some people say, execute people. Other people say, lock them up and throw the key away. And other people say something else. So this is a very living discussion and debate. It's going on. It's something that normally isn't talked about unless there's a horrible crime. When there's a horrible crime, then everybody says, do something. Then they want to pass a new law, and then you have more time. That's how three strikes started.
We talked about a lot of things with the governor. We talked about restorative justice, forgiveness.
The importance of programming for prisoners mm-hmm. and how hard it is to keep hope alive in prison.
And then our 35 minutes were up.
Actually, he gave us about 50 minutes.
Well, that's true.
Which might have made him a little late to swearing in the new California Supreme Court Justice, Joshua Groban. Sorry about that, Yana.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, good. We got some ideas
yes,
here.
Thank you.
We'll listen to your
podcast.
Do.
Oh, yeah. It would be an honor. Good. Oh, this hopefully will remind you to listen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this will remind me. Yeah.
This will remind you.
I didn't drink my coffee here. What's
well,
this?
Well, here, now you have a new coffee mug.
and it gives you more coffee.
Yeah, you can have more coffee in it, and it can remind
okay,
you to
your hustle. Okay, well, that's a good, very interesting term.
Yes, do you know what it means?
Well, yeah, you're eavesdropping.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Got it all.
Of course,
I figured it out. All right.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate
well, good
it.
Good luck to you. Where are you going to be living?
I live in Oakland right now in a restored justice
where
transitional
about?
House.
So, what'd you think, E?
I think, for me, having a chance to talk to the person who actually gave me my freedom is D. He a cool dude. I mean, we didn't include this in the tape, but he wanted to hear what we had to say, and he had a lot of questions about life in prison.
Yeah, he did. All right, well, that was our visit with Governor Brown. And remember, we'll be back in the summer with a new season of regular episodes.
In the meantime, if you're a new listener, go back to season one and get your binge on.
Ear Hustle is produced by myself, Nigel Poor.
And me, Earline Woods. Pat Mesiti Miller recorded the visit with the governor. This episode included music by David Jazzy and Antoine Williams.
Curtis Fox is our story editor. Aaron Wade's our digital producer, and Julie Shapiro is our executive producer for Radiotopia.
If you want to stay up to date on all things Ear Hustle while we're on our break, go to our website, earhustlesq.com, and sign up for our newsletter. And be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at earhustlesq.
And don't forget the Ear Hustle mugs. The governor got one.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm.
This podcast was made possible with the support from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration.
I'm Earline Woods.
And I'm Nigel Poor.
Thanks for listening.
This is Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the Public Information Officer at San Quentin State Prison. Normally I have the opportunity to approve this podcast, but since this episode is not recording San Quentin, my approval is not required. Nonetheless, I do, as tradition always holds, I do approve this episode.